Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max. New Mexico State about to close it out against UConn. Are you kidding me? I'm not. Well, it's getting good early, isn't it? March Madness is upon us in a lot of different ways, including at Augsburg University, where they will play in the Division III quarterfinals in hockey. Greg May is their head coach. Coach May joins us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Coach, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me, Max. I appreciate it.
You know, I ran into Ted Reverso today over at the girls' basketball state tournament. He's out there recruiting and watching prospects. He, of course, women's basketball coach at Augsburg University, where they won a conference championship. And I was talking to him about probably one of the untold or misunderstood, or at least not given enough credit, is how Augsburg has dominated winter sports in the MIAC between hockey, basketball, and wrestling, of course. Not just this year, but for years, Augsburg is always right there in the wintertime. It's pretty amazing, isn't it?
It is, and you know, it's funny that you bring that up. There's a point in time around the holiday break here where we had a pretty good record going and a good conference record, and us coaches in our coaches' room were half joking, but we were trying to keep pace with the other teams in our own school, let alone the league, with how good everyone is doing. So it's a fun time around Augsburg, definitely.
To host a quarterfinal game means what to you and your program this Saturday?
Yeah, well, it's huge. I mean, I believe, I'm an Augsburg alum, so I should know the answer to this, but I believe it's the first time in program history that we've hosted an NCAA quarterfinal game. And, you know, we told our guys, as cliche as it sounds, that, you know, if back in October we told you we'd be hosting a game in a one-game shot to get to the Frozen Four, would you take it? And I think every single one of you would. So it's obviously a big deal for us. We tend to play well at home. You know, we have a pretty a raucous environment at Augsburg, the small venue, and it usually gets pretty loud and packed in there. So we're definitely excited about it, and hopefully we can take advantage of the atmosphere.
You know, I know where Augsburg gets their players from, but St. Norbert up there in Wisconsin, not far from Green Bay. You know, Wisconsin's kind of one of I don't know, it's a strange hockey state because there is some good hockey players that come out of there, but they certainly don't have the abundance what Minnesota does. What's their recruiting base? What do schools like that, where do they go find them?
It's a good question. I mean, I think for the most part, I mean, we all kind of get a lot of our guys from the North American Hockey League.
Sure.
Nowadays, even in Division III, everyone's playing 2 years of junior hockey before they come to us. So, you know, they do have a stronger Canadian contingency, I guess I would say, than we traditionally do at Augsburg. But for the most part, we're kind of getting out of the same league, which is the North American Hockey League.
So when you assess talent like that, the North American Hockey League, are you making a lot of visits there? Because it's a little bit cumbersome with the way that league is set up, that you get some peeks at them, but given your schedule as well, are you video? Are you watching them in the summer? How do you go about evaluating those prospects?
Yeah, it's a great question. Kind of a combo. We're fortunate right now that the Minnesota Magicians play out of Richfield.
Yeah, so you get everybody coming through at some point in time, yeah.
We do, exactly. And our assistant coach, Garrett Henriksen, does an awesome job. He's kind of a rink rat, I call him. So he's in the rinks, you know, every chance he gets to watch those junior teams play. We do nowadays in 2022. We have the luxury of being able to watch these guys on video also. We have a program where we can type in guys' names and we can see all their shifts clipped up and everything. So we are fortunate to have that. As you know, it doesn't quite beat the eye test when you're physically in the building watching them play. But, you know, we do the best we can. And Division III is a little interesting, too, because, you know, our recruiting really is for the following year. You know, we're not like the Division I guys who are 2 or 3 years down the road.
Yeah, placing guys different spots, all that, yeah.
Exactly. So we're fortunate that we do have some junior hockey around us. There's a team in St. Cloud, there's a team in Chippewa, a team in Austin. So, you know, we don't have to travel too far.
You know, that being said, you know, I went to Hamlin many years ago, and I was on the basketball, so I was on the hockey side. But obviously, you know, all the hockey players, you know, you go to the same get-togethers on the weekends, as they say. But yeah. I don't remember anybody being from a junior at that time, late 80s, I'll date myself here, late 80s, I don't remember anybody being from a junior hockey league. When did that kind of change where the juniors became mandatory for the MIAC as well?
I don't know. I know that I played at Augsburg in 2003 to 2007, and we were very heavy, I would say, 90 to 95% guys that played at least 1 year of junior hockey, if not two. And I think it's a little bit of just keeping up with the Joneses. You see these other top teams around the country that are doing it, and they're getting older. And I remember even when I played, I came right out of high school, and it was hard for me my first year. I was 18 years old, and you put a puck in the corner, you got a 25-year-old that you're battling with, and it's usually the 25-year-old's coming out with the puck. So we're fortunate right now that our program is in a state that people want to come play for us. And, we're old. I mean, our average age, I think, is 22.7 right now. So all of our guys other than two played 2 years of junior hockey. I don't, to answer your question, I'm not sure when the change happened. I know that even in the early 2000s, it was definitely trending that way if it wasn't already that way with the top programs.
Greg May is our guest. Augsburg, regular season champions, playing for a chance to go to the Division III Frozen Four this Saturday against St. Norbert, who they will play at home at 7 o'clock on Saturday night. What makes this team go? Is it grit? Is it that physical presence? Is it what?
We got great leadership, honestly. We have eight seniors, and I remember back in October, we were kind of talking over captains, had individual meetings, and I think 12 or 13 different names came up as guys from our team that could be captains. So as cliche as it sounds, we have really good leaders. We're a good skating team. We're a team that likes to make plays. We're not afraid of making mistakes. We like to get after it in that regard. I think like any coach, we wish we had just that little more grit here and there. But we do have it. It's within us, and we've talked about a lot all throughout the year that we're a team that really isn't afraid of the moment. So hopefully we can continue that trend this weekend as well.
And don't you play two goalies?
We do, yeah. We've been platooning them all year long. We've literally go every other game. There was a one-game stint in Concordia in early December where one of our goalies was sick, so we had to go with Jack Roble for both those games. But otherwise, yeah, we've literally been going every other night.
Obviously, there's if it works, it works kind of thing. But do you find, is there any secret sauce to that in terms of, a combo goalies? One person said, well, keeps them fresh, especially when you play back-to-back like you guys do, et cetera. But is there something, or is it just based on, hey, if you earn the playing time, you're going to get to play one game?
I think a little bit of everything you just said right there. I think not one of them has given us a reason to not play them, if that makes sense. They are very different. One catches left hand, one catches right hand. One is 6'2", one is 5'8". One is super athletic. One is a little bit more technically sound, I guess, if you will, in the net. So they're very, very different styles as well. And then, like you said, I mean, it keeps them fresh. They're not going back to back. You watch these NHL guys, and they always talk about, goalies the second night of a back to back or whatever it may be, and it just seems to be working for us right now. And who knows if we're fortunate to keep going here into the next week, we'll see. We kind of been telling ourselves that we'll make the decision day by day for the last few weeks, and again, our goalies, knock on wood, have been giving us no reason not to play them.
Yeah, I mean, it's so, because when you win like you guys do, that means whoever plays the first game probably plays pretty well, and that leaves some room for boss, like, is he on a roll or not, all those things. I didn't know there were any 5'8" goalies left anymore. I thought you had to be 6'2", 6'3" to play goalie. Now you got one, though.
It does seem like it. Yeah, he's pretty dynamic. He's what you call very fun to watch. Plays the puck like crazy. He's got a goal in his college career already, and he's pretty dynamic in there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I appreciate very much, Coach, and good luck on Saturday night and at home. I'm sure you'll get a good crowd. You're not on spring break, are you?
We're at the end of spring break, so hopefully we get the guys and gals coming back from their trips and making a stop at Sagastad on Saturday night for us.
Well, you got a nice barn right there on campus, so it's easy for them once they get there. Thank you so much, and congratulations on a great season.
Thanks, Maxie. Appreciate the support.
You bet. Greg May, head coach, Augsburg University, St. Norbert's, to go to the Frozen Four. That's about as good as it gets. I mean to tell you, it's getting really interesting in the NCAA tournament right now. Really interesting. I'll explain when we come back. I'll explain when we come back on Sports to the Max on News Talk 830 WCCO. All right, NCAA basketball tournament is getting very interesting. St. Mary's is just annihilating Indiana 72-43. Now, that's a 5 versus a 12, but you always assume, well, yeah, but it's the Big Ten, and St. Mary's is in the Big Ten. They haven't played that kind of schedule. Maybe they haven't, but they're beating Indiana by 31 points right now. But here's where it gets interesting. New Mexico State, I told you folks, so many of you said, I you know, don't know enough about them, blah, blah, blah. Trust me, they beat UConn. By 5 or 7 points tonight. Good game going down the stretch. I told you that, and I told you Richmond that Iowa was out of gas, and look, they're out of gas. Gonzaga won 93-72. We heard from Lance Johnson. Chet Holmgren's coach. Chet had, I think it was 18-16, something like that, 19-17 in terms of points and rebounds, 7 blocks. Really good second half in that game. But the one that's gotten very interesting right now is St. Peter's is taking Kentucky to overtime. They're tied at 71 apiece. Kentucky hit a 3-pointer to take a 2-point lead. St. Peter's came back down, and the guy hit a runner, and it hung on the rim, on the back of the rim before it went in. And they're tied at 71-71 in overtime. San Diego State, Brian Dutcher, the coach there, leads Creighton 62-53. I mentioned earlier Iowa got bounced by Richmond. Tennessee did a number on Linwood, no big surprise there. And, you know, a lot of the favorites won. North Carolina, well, if they're doing to Marquette, would have been interesting. Dawson Garcia transferred from Marquette to North Carolina, but he left the team some time ago. So don't know what his status is there. But we got some good ones. But UNC beat him 95-63. Wow. UNC was up and down, too. You know, Kerwin Walton they've got from Hopkins, but he hasn't played as much as maybe I think he would like. UCLA still set to play Akron tonight. I took UCLA in that one, just, you know, for my brackets. But this St. Peter game has got the this is a 2 versus a 15. And Kentucky leads at 73-71 with 4 minutes left. In overtime in the NCAA East region. Now, earlier today, right here on WCCO, you heard the Minnesota Twins' first broadcast. Wasn't that nice? So here it comes, spring training. Dan Gladden, Corey Provis with the call, and it was a fun broadcast to listen to because they make it fun. It was fun to have baseball back. It didn't go the Twins' way. They lost 14-1 to the Red Sox. Dahlbeck hit a 2-run home run. The Twins didn't hit much. Twins didn't do anything much. So, you know, for whatever that means, I mean, they've had 3 days of practice, but, it was at JetBlue Stadium, and I think they scored like, I don't know, 6 runs in the 9th inning, something like that too. So, it was just not good. It was not good. Tubbsy, my concern, I think I'm going to be down in spring training all of next week, with the team. So I'll get to eyeball them and talk to people that know much more about, Major League Baseball than I do. And I'll report on that next week, but, okay. but I'm having a tough time getting to, even naming, you know, usually if you get a rotation, you got like 7 names right now, right? You know, 3, and, yeah. And then you got 5 guys going for the last 2 spots. I can't get to 5 right now.
I can go with 3. It's like name that tune, right? Yeah. I can name that rotation in 3 pitchers.
Okay, you got, you know, see everything, Gray,
yep.
Ober,
yep.
Ryan.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now what?
Beyond that, I don't know. I know that, you know, Michael Pineda is that name. He's kind of that safe fallback, right? I mean,
I'd take him right now if, you know, he's sitting out there, you know?
Yeah, and I don't know what they might be waiting for with that.
Yeah, and the one thing about him is you better give him a physical first because Big Mike's body changes a lot.
Yeah, it fluctuates.
And then he had a little issue there with things he's putting in his body the one year, yeah.
Yeah.
But Randy Dobnik's in there because he got hurt last year, but I mean, I don't think you can lean on him to be a starter right now.
No, I don't think you can. I know a couple of years ago in the playoff, you know, game 2, they're talking about, you know, do you want to throw Dobnik in Yankee Stadium because he's a sinker ball pitcher in the short porch in right field and yada, yada, yada.
They did, and it didn't work. I was there.
But I feel like the roster is still incomplete. There's still buzz around Trevor Story. There's still speculation that they might – you'll work to, you know, to do a deal with Oakland for one of their starters because, yeah. Oakland You know, and if you get, you know, a guy like Montas or something, I mean, that changes the complexion of your rotation.
But, you know, right now, given the shortened spring training,
yeah,
boy, I'd be hesitant if I was another team to give up pitching. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and
because,
that's, yeah.
Because you're just at a sprint right now to opening day, and then you don't know how many arms you're going to need or how many injuries there's going to be.
And that's just it. You know, where are you going to get your starting pitching from in such an abrupt? Because realistically, you're going to have maybe 2.5 weeks. So
yeah.
If you can't sit and let this thing percolate, if you're going to make a move, you've got to make a move now.
Like, right.
You can't.
You know, when they brought Lance Lynn in late a couple years ago,
and
I was down there the day they signed him, and I watched his first start, and he was lights out. He threw like 3 great innings. He was pumped up. He had the fastball. He was riding it up there. And you go, boy, this is it, man. They solidified the pitching staff. But he really was, I mean, he was just amped up that day, and it really didn't work out. You remember they had to trade him before the end of the season.
Yeah.
And eventually he got his stuff back. But, he was a late signing, and he never really got into the rhythm that you thought he might, and that's what happens with it. I mean, if you're not, you know, I think it's also that mental thing. You need to be there and be around the guys, and you know, talking to the catcher, all that stuff, so you don't put too much pressure on yourself. By the way, St. Peter's in Kentucky is now tied 75-75 with 2:20 left in the game, and I still here's the other thing, Tubbs. I don't see the left side of the infield, how that's really come together yet.
Yeah, you got to fix your shortstop problem. Like I was okay with Andrelton Simmons signing with the Cubs. I'm cool with that. But if Royce Lewis is not ready to go, you've got to figure it out, because moving Polanco back over to shortstop, if that's not an option, and sliding Luis Arraez to second, if that's not an option, you've got Gio Urshela. You've got him at third. Yeah. What do you have at short? That's why I feel like there's got to be another move that's got to be coming.
But it's got to come at some point in time. You know, we had Royce on the other day. I had him on Sunday with Pete Najarian and I. And you're talking about he hasn't played in the big leagues yet.
Yeah, that's
2 years ago.
Yes.
He played that inner squad. You know that. You know the if you were an invitee, you got to go over to St. Paul and play, which is fine. I mean, every team was doing the same thing.
Sure.
Except that last year he missed the whole season with the ACL. And even in talking to him the other day, I didn't get the same swagger and confidence that I got from him the first couple of years that he was coming into the minor leagues. Now he's had a fall league somewhere in there, so he's got some of the best. But my God, I would hate to see him have to carry the burden or the pressure of being on a major league roster right now until he see some live pitching at the AAA level for the next month.
It has been a long time since he has seen live bullets, so to speak.
There's
a lot of expectations. I mean, we waited waited for years for Miguel Sano and Byron Buxton to finally make it. And I don't know if I'd put Royce Lewis.
I'd put him injuries. I'd put him in that same kind of fast track people talking about.
He's been one of those guys. That they've been talking about. And I'm glad this lockout ended, because I felt so bad for him missing a year and then missing whatever you would have tacked on to that for him. So, I mean, this just slowed his development. I completely understand where he might be a little gun shy. But, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, these guys start pumping fastballs and sliders, and, I mean, you can go 0 for 15 real quick if you're not careful, you know?
Yeah, and, I mean, maybe you figure out a way to, get him some at-bats against, more susceptible pitching, and then you slowly ramp it up.
But I just don't want to see him have to come up too soon,
No, I don't either.
Let's take a break, come back with Ron Larson, the Hall of Famer, 700 career wins as a coach. He was also at the Osseo Park Center game tonight. He coached in Oak Ramsey. He's the head basketball coach there. And he's a Hall of Famer and all those things. But he was at the high school game tonight, one of the premier matchups between Park Center and Osseo. We'll get a game report from him on that, plus a lot more straight ahead. All right, after official review, overtime, 42 seconds left, St. Peter's is awarded the ball against Kentucky, and they have a 3-point lead with 42 seconds left. Kentucky had a layup. It was contested. It went out of bounds. They initially ruled it for Kentucky. They came back and gave it to St. Peter's. St. Peter's has the basketball, and Kentucky may have to foul here. No, they yes, they did. So we'll keep you updated, but that's a 2 against 15, teetering on an upset. Joining us now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline, the one and only, the Hall of Famer, Ron Larson, head coach of Oak Ramsey, who got 700 and 701 wins. What has Anoka Ramsey meant to you, Ron?
Oh, gosh. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. I'm kind of feeling like Sports Score Central here tonight.
Yeah.
Because all my buddies are sending me all these scores in. It's kind of cool. And thanks for reporting the college scores now, too. I actually just came home from Park Center Osseo game, and it was 46-22 at halftime, so I don't have a pile on that one.
Park Center leading?
Park Center was ahead, yeah. Gosh sakes, I don't think I've ever seen so much speed on the floor in 50 years of watching basketball.
They play defense, awesome. Don't they?
Oh, my gosh, they get after it. They've got depth, and they've got, you know, shooters, and the kid going to the U is a real deal, so that's going to be exciting with Kerrigan going there. But anyway, so sort of not answer your question, but you know what it's meant to me is I was a high school coach, you know, for 35 years. I spent 1 year at St. Cloud State, and the last 14 at Anoka Ramsey, and I think it's probably one of the more rewarding gigs I've ever had, because you know we're dealing with a lot of different issues with young men, and it's just fun to be part of their lives and the wins are one thing, but there's so much more to this game of sports and basketball than the wins and losses. And so it's just been a fun experience, and it's time, you know, like I said, I'm retiring, so yeah. that's good too.
I was getting to that, but was that a hard decision? You got wins 700 and 701 your final week. I mean, holy cow! I don't think your decision was contingent on that. But what is it difficult to say? Here's the whistle. Here's the clipboard.
Well, you know, I still have the. First of all, you win that many games because you're old. That helps.
but you've done it the right way, you know, and won a lot of games, man.
Yeah, well, it's been a great run in the high school ranks, and obviously the last 14 years at Anoka Ramsey has been a special time. But you know, I still have the energy, and I still have the desire to do that. But you know, there's other factors involved when you get to my age, and I've got three grandkids that are playing soccer in the fall out in California, and they're playing baseball. You know, baseball never ends in California, as you're well aware.
Yeah.
And they're already playing baseball games out there, and I've got grandsons at Maple Grove, and so I'm going to probably get into youth coaching. So
sure.
I'm just not walking away from the gym. But that being said, you know, it's just been it's tough. It's tough to walk away from, you know, from something you love. I've just had some, you know, and the great thing about it is all the great relationships a guy's developed over the years with so many different people. And it's been fun to, you know, I mean, it's been fun to read some of their emails and texts.
Yeah.
Texting me, but you know, again, all good things come to an end. That's kind of the way to put it.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean you're done coaching. It just means you're done coaching Anoka Ramsey. Who knows what you know what might get your interest? But when you think about that, what you just said, let me ask you this question. I think a lot of coaches changes as they get older. Do you enjoy practices or games more?
Coaching is. People think that, you know, so many people think that you just show up in a gym for a couple hours, you throw out the ball, you teach a few things, and you walk away. Well, there's so much more to it than that, and so I just love the practices. I always love teaching, motivating the kids, and you motivate the kids in practice by, you know, getting them to play hard in practice, so that, you know, the old saying, you play like you practice, and that's kind of the way it is. And so you're teaching all the time, and you know, you're just trying to make kids better, and you're trying to relate, you know, what happens in basketball with the ups and downs and the pressure situations with life skills as well. So that's kind of more what you do in practice. Games are exciting because obviously but there's a certain amount of pressure of performing. You know, it's kind of like putting on a play. You're performing, you know, and so there's a certain amount of pressure that you kind of get tired of after a while. But
it gnaws at you, doesn't it?
Oh gosh, you know, and then it's fun to say you won 700 games probably, but that's not the reason I got out. Get me wrong, don't get me wrong. I'd made this decision before any of that, but the tough part about it is you remember the losses more than the wins.
I know. Isn't that terrible?
Isn't that terrible?
Because you coaches, for better or worse, there's a lot of good to this. But you're constantly trying to figure out how to fix it, aren't you? And so you tend to fixate on the losses because those are the things where you go, what could I have done differently? What do I need to fix? And it becomes, I mean, it almost robs you. I mean, you got to be careful about this because it can rob you of the joy.
Well, and that's what I'm happy about. The joy never went away. You know, you just have, you ask the kids to bounce back after a loss or after an injury or whatever might happen, you know, and so you just have to live what you preach, you know, and that's what it's all about. You live what you preach, and you got to bounce back from adversity. You bounce back from a loss. You bounce back from missing a key shot or whatever it might be, and you move on. And that's what life's all about. You move on, right?
Do you think that coaching for people that get into the business right now is harder now than it was when you first started? Is it the same? Is it easier because there's so much talent out there and so much access to training? What is it?
Well, you have to navigate through a lot more stuff. You know, it seems like a lot of people have personal trainers, and you know, some of them do a great job, some don't do a great job. You know, that's just the way it is. And everybody seems to be an expert. I don't know if that was always the case. All I know is that when I played Little League Baseball in the summer, the parents dropped you off and they went back to work and they didn't even see a game. And now everybody is a helicopter or a bulldozer parent where they're trying to influence, how much their kid plays or what position they play or things like that. And that's what makes it tough. I'm glad I went through the high school ranks when I did. I just think that there's a lot more pressure right now on high school coaches, high school athletic directors. It's just sad the way it's become. I don't know how we get back to some normalcy, if you want to call it that, but, and that's one thing about the college level. You don't have quite those same types of pressures on you all the time, unless you're making $4 million and you got to win. Well, I didn't ever make that, actually.
Yeah, but then you can walk away and go, you know what? I took some heat, but I'm going to get on my boat right now, and you don't care maybe so much. But, you know, the AAU circuit, the summer circuit that everybody really needs to play if they want to have a chance to play at any level of college, how does a kid know if he, you know, because sometimes you'll see those games and you go, you try to figure out the value, and you go, is the value in that they're getting better and developing, or is the value in that they see how good the competition is and they understand how hard they're going to have to work? When you watch these summer games, these off-season games, the spring season almost upon us, what does the kids need to know about that?
Well, first of all, I've found that a lot of parents and a lot of kids don't ever see college basketball or college athletics in a game.
And, you're probably right, yeah, because they're so busy in their own seasons, huh?
Yeah, they don't see that stuff. They don't see the level, how high a level, and I'm just talking JUCO basketball is a tremendous level of basketball.
Yep.
It's you have to be athletic, you have to have skills, you know, you have to have moxie about you, and so I when I was a high school coach, I encouraged my high school guys to go watch a college game. And if people would ever do that at the high school level, they'd realize that their kid might not be the 1% that actually plays college basketball.
Yep.
Because there's very few people that can really play the game. Now, I'm not saying people shouldn't have dreams. They certainly should have dreams, but if they would watch some of that, I mean, my grandkids have learned a great deal about how hard you have to play, and they're only grade school kids, but believe me, they come away from a college basketball game and they're working a lot harder at their game. And so, you know, to answer your question, it would be a long answer, but it just still means that kids have to continue working at their skills. And I sometimes get upset with the AU stuff, but on the other hand, I know it's there. There's a lot of good there too. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, for sure. And if nothing else, if you see how good the other team is, you go, holy cow, I'm not nearly as good as I thought. There's value in that, you know. Or if your teammates are a lot better than you, you go, whoa, if I want to play at this level, I'm going to have to really, you know, change the way I think, because you get exposed to all these kids that you wouldn't, you know, get exposed to otherwise. But sometimes I'm not so sure that you can really develop players much. Like if it was your grandkids and you said, here's the next 3 months in the summer if you want to be good at basketball, what kind of program would you put them on?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't devote all my time to going to weekend tournaments. You know, mm-hmm. You spend more time practicing things. Secondly, I would say go play some baseball too, because
yeah, absolutely,
it all relates to it. There's just too much specialization going on right now at every sport, and And I think the kids are getting burned out. And to be very honest, I see parents getting burned out. And I think that takes away some of the enjoyment of just enjoying your kid and enjoying them growing up and so forth. So if I was going to put together a program, I've talked about this a lot. There are baseball programs that say you got to attend every game or don't join our organization. There are basketball organizations that say that. There are soccer organizations that say that. You've got to commit year-round to our sports. And a lot of people do, and I'm not knocking that either if they made that choice. But to me, there's just so much more enjoyment on just playing various things. And I would like to start an organization where we would literally play some basketball but also practice baseball.
Wouldn't
or something
be fun?
Like that.
Wouldn't that be fun if you get the same group of kids to do both?
I know. It would just be so much fun. And I'm not just talking girls or boys now, but there's, you know, it's the same in the girls' sports. There's a reason, Maxie, why Minnesota's got so many better basketball players going on, boys and girls. There's no question about that. The developmental programs have been very instrumental in that. But, you know, I think sometimes there's a burnout thing that takes place as well. So, anyway.
Are your dogs barking in the background there, Ron?
No, I don't have any dogs. It must be your dogs.
I think somebody brought their dog to the station here. hey, Ron, am I going to see you? You're going to be around next week at the tournament? Where are you going to be?
You know what's great about going to these games? I've been going to all these games now, and I don't have to look at who I have to recruit.
You get to just enjoy the game, huh?
Kid's
decided where he's going to college.
Oh, it's awesome. I'm eating popcorn, and I'm BSing with people. It's just so much fun.
Well, you are a credit to the profession and all that you've done, not just in coaching kids, but you've been so involved in the Coaches Association and everything else. So I wanted to take a minute just to say thank you for all that you did for high school and college kids and the sport of basketball and the coaches as well that you have served. So job well done, my friend, and I'm proud to call you a friend.
Well, I'm proud to be part of a great media group that I've got to know. I'm proud of the officials that I've got to know and everybody else. It's just been a great career, and the relationships are there forever, and I just appreciate that as well. So thank you for your words, and we'll look forward to seeing you down the road here.
Absolutely, Ron.
I'm not going away from basketball. I'm going to stay involved with a lot of different things, but it's just not going to be it's not going to be the 12-month grind.
No, at least not for now. Thanks, Ron. Appreciate it. Ron Larson, one of the iconic figures in basketball in the state of Minnesota. 701 wins later, he decides to retire. We'll wrap up this edition of Sports to the Max. Yeah, we got another bracket buster to tell you about when we come back. All right, Tubbs, it's an official bracket buster. St. Peter's beats Kentucky in overtime 85-79. What a game. And now Creighton's come back, and San Diego State and Creighton are in overtime. That's, you know, closer in terms of seeds 8-9, but it's still we got some real action here in the first day, don't we?
Yeah, we do. And let's
can you give an update of the other scores you have in there?
Yeah. I've got Vermont right now is up 13-11 over Arkansas.
Ooh.
There's about 13 minutes left to go. That's a four. The Razorbacks are the four. And Vermont, the
13?
Yeah, the green trees, whatever they are. Yeah. I don't know their logo. And then you've got Creighton and, San Diego State are tied at 66. And it looks like a player for Creighton just went down right now with an injury. We're not sure what it is and who it is. But right now, San Diego State, rather, is up 68-66 with 2:42 left to go in overtime. Well, I mean, let's not forget last night's Notre Dame-Rutgers game.
How about that, huh?
I mean, you knew, though, once the game went past midnight.
Yep.
And it was St. Patrick's Day.
Yep.
I mean, it was over.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? We got them to midnight, and it's over.
I mean, thou shalt not beat Notre Dame on St. Patrick's Day.
No.
I think there's some sort of like a creed or something about that.
So the Big Ten, when you think about it, Rutgers goes down, Indiana gets blown out.
Do you count that, though, as the tournament, though? Do you count
this first? But they could have been in anyway. And every time, let's say they win their first game, every team in the conference makes money, you know? So it does matter. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
But and the one team that was the underdog was Michigan, and they win. Well, Indiana was an underdog, too, but, I mean, Michigan was the team that you thought was out of sorts.
Yeah, the whole Juwan Howard.
Yeah.
There's, you can either completely unravel or you feel that maybe you can, I mean, he had a good staff. Juwan Howard had a good staff that he trusted when he was out.
Yeah.
And, you know, They were. I mean, and it took a lot of work to beat Colorado State. I mean, they had a 15-point lead in the first half. I mean, CSU, the Rams were rolling.
Yeah, I was texting Nico Medved, their head coach, this week, and going back and forth. We were going to get him on the other night, and then they had their travel change and all that. And I thought, okay, I'll just wait till he wins that first game, then I'll get him on Friday night. I think we'll have to put that on hold.
That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, let the fun begin. And the greatest way to get people back into the NCAA tournament is to just have a really good NCAA tournament. And so far today, pretty good.
Well, I mean, when you've got some of the top players in college basketball that aren't even playing in the tournament, and, you know, it's kind of become like bowl games in a sense that players are sitting out to improve their draft stock. I mean, we just saw a player for Creighton get, you know, help to the locker room with, you know, some sort of an injury. So it's just, as much as it, you know, we'd like to see some of these stars and, you know, big time names, I just don't, especially this year, Maxie, I just feel like it's so wide open at this point. And I think the parity is what makes it so cool.
Yeah, and I think that that's what was evident a couple of years ago here when it was here with Texas Tech and Virginia and Michigan State. I mean, there was parity, but it was fun basketball. You didn't have to watch a star to see a good game, and I think that's kind of where college basketball has landed right now.
Yeah, and blue bloods are going by the wayside a little bit.
Yeah, and blue bloods, you know, and the transfer portal is going to take a toll on some of those blue bloods, because if you're a smaller school and you can get a couple of 6'9", 240-pound, 22-year-olds, they're not going to be too afraid of you at Kentucky or wherever it is, you know?
No, they're not.
All right, good to be with you. We'll do it again tomorrow night, okay?
Sounds good, Maxie.
All right, News Talk 830 WCCO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.